So precious. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16. Again tonight, Acts chapter 16 and find verse 6. And if you would, please, when you find your place there, let's stand together for the reading of God's Word tonight. Acts 16, verse 6. The Word of God says, "Now when they had gone through Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia, and prayed him, saying, 'Come over into Macedonia and help us.' And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them." Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again tonight, thank you so much for the freedom we have and the blessing together with the saints to worship you, that we can come boldly before your presence with our needs and your throne of grace and find mercy and help. And Lord, we do need you. We need you every moment of every day, and I pray that you would give us grace and mercy. And we thank you for it. And Lord, I pray for those that are not able to be here tonight, that you'll bring them back the next time we come together. But Father, for this time, we pray you'll help us to know you. I pray your Holy Spirit would guide us and teach us that we might understand how to walk with you more faithfully, how to live lives led by your Spirit. Please help me, Lord, for I'm nothing without you. And I pray that you would help any decisions that need to be made for Christ tonight, that we would trust and obey you with all that we are. We pray for your help and mercy in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please be seated. I mentioned this morning I wanted to take a little time tonight to dig in a little bit more on this issue of being led by the Spirit. Maybe it stands out to you, it does to me, that it seems a strange thing that Christ would command his disciples to go and make disciples everywhere, but then as they wanted to go places to preach the gospel, the Lord would say no. I mean, we read it there in verse 6, they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. And then again, they essayed, they desired to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered, or the Spirit would not allow them to, suffered them not, would not allow them to. And so, but these men, and by the way, you might remember from the beginning of Acts, this is Luke is the author, and he said, after he, Paul, had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia. Just forgot to mention this morning, the Luke is with them. He's with them. He says, Paul saw the vision, we endeavored to go, and so Luke identifies that he's with them. So you've got at least Paul, Silas, Luke, Timotheus, and many others besides probably that are not named. But these men were being led by the Spirit. And it's vital for us as Christians today. Jesus said when he ascended into heaven, he said, I'm going to go, but I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send my Spirit to be your comforter. And he taught us about the Spirit, that he would be our comforter. He would be our guide. He would be our teacher, that he would give us power to be witnesses unto him. And so many times, I think that we leave the Spirit out of our lives, and we cannot live for Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit in us day by day. And so I want to take a moment to dig in a little bit about this because it seems difficult to me. Maybe this isn't needful for you. Maybe it's easy for you, but I just have a hard time understanding this. When I read that they were forbidden of the Holy Ghost, I kind of wonder, how did that happen? Because it doesn't seem to me that the Spirit of God spoke audibly. We know that God the Father spoke audibly at times where men could hear him, that they could hear God audibly speak. We know that he did that. He did that at the baptism of Jesus. He spoke audibly where the voice of God the Father could be heard, the Spirit could be seen coming down, the Son being baptized. And so there's times we hear God speaking. We know that Jesus, the Lord Jesus, spoke to the Apostle Paul when he was Saul of Tarsus on the road to Damascus. The Spirit of God, or Jesus himself, spoke to him. The Lord spoke. But I don't know, and maybe you study this out, you can help me out, but it doesn't seem evident to me, at least, that there were very many times that the Spirit spoke audibly. He worked in a different way. And I personally am persuaded that God doesn't speak to God audibly today like he did with people at times in the Scriptures. I believe that God primarily speaks to us today through the written word. primarily he speaks to us through his word. But listen, friends, the Spirit of God is still active and leading God's people today. And so I want to help try to understand a little bit better how that worked. How were they forbidden by the Spirit? When they had a desire to go to Bithynia, how is it that the Spirit would not allow them to? Was it a feeling that they had in their heart? Was it just their conscience, God using their conscience? Did God bring scripture to their mind that would lead them a different direction? Exactly how did it happen? I'm here to tell you, I don't know exactly how it happened, but hopefully we can learn some things about the Spirit that will help us tonight. So, you ready? Amen. Ready or not, here we go. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Brother Eddie, really appreciate the fact that I finished early this morning. Don't get ready for that tonight. Oh, so sad. Listen, I want to tell you, the things that we're going to talk about tonight are absolutely critical for us to walk with Jesus. And if you want to have a walk with Jesus, we have to be led of the Spirit. So let's learn a little bit about that. At Romans chapter 1, or excuse me, after chapter 8, verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And how does that happen? They walk after the Spirit because the Spirit lives inside of them. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life of Christ, in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What happens? When you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God lives inside of you. What you could not do in the law, what the law could not do, the Spirit of God does in you. Amen. Do you see that? When the Spirit of God is in you, it accomplishes what the law could not accomplish. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The law condemned us. The law made us guilty before God. The law is what showed us that we needed a Savior. The law could not save us. And if there had been a law written whereby we could be made right with God, Jesus died in vain. But the law could not save us, so Christ came to fulfill the righteous law, and through his death and resurrection, we can be made right with God. We can overcome sin and death through faith in Jesus. And when you put your faith in Jesus, the Spirit of God lives inside of you, and you are not condemned because now your life is lived by the Spirit of God that is in you. Amen. Are you with me? So we don't walk, we don't live. Our life is not in the flesh anymore. Our life is in the Spirit, which means, by the way, as a Christian, your life should be led by the Spirit of God, not in the flesh like you used to be before you came to Christ. There ought to be a difference. And so the law is changed, the law is overcome, so that the righteousness, verse 4, that the righteousness of the law would be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now the law that we couldn't carry out, the law that we couldn't fulfill in our flesh, now the Spirit of God, the Spirit that is of Christ that's in us, allows us to walk in righteousness, allows us to walk in newness of life, gives us the ability and the energy to do, the power to do what God calls us to do that we had no hope of doing without the Spirit of God. And it's not us, but it's Christ through us in his Spirit. Now, verse 5, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be, so that they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You need to understand this. There are a lot of people I meet in our community that think, hey, me and God have an understanding. Me and the man upstairs, we have an understanding. Listen, if you don't have Christ, you don't have the Spirit of God in you, you do not have something with God. In the flesh, you cannot please God. That means without Christ, without the Spirit of God, you cannot please him. And by the way, in your daily life, if you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit, you can't please God either. Amen. We can't walk in the flesh and please God. To be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. And to be born again is to have the Spirit of God in you, and you should not be minding, thinking about, your thoughts should not be consumed with the things of the flesh. Our thoughts should be consumed with higher things, things that are above, things in the heavenly, things that have to do with Christ. We ought to be spiritually minded people. I'm afraid, dear friends, that most of the time, as Christians today, we get too caught up in the world, too caught up in the flesh. We're too carnally minded. And listen, we are not to be carnally minded. We're not to be fleshly minded. We're to be spiritually minded. Amen. And if you are justified through faith in Christ, you're not condemned, and you ought to be walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. Amen. Verse 9, you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken or make alive your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Amen. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Amen. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, we may be also glorified together. Amen. So here it is. In the flesh, we have death, carnally minded, fleshly, death. But in Christ, we have life. The Spirit is inside of us. Verse 16 says that his Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And I just want to, any of you who have been born again, you can go back to when you were saved. And sometimes you hear people try to describe what that was like to be saved. I was lost. I knew I was on my way to hell. But then I trusted Christ. I cried out to him. Whatever you might try to describe it. But there was a change that happened. We try to describe that change, and we start talking about our feelings, and we say, well, whoa, 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 we don't want to talk about feelings, but I'm just telling you something. The Spirit of God is in you, and the Spirit of God bears witness with your spirit. That's inside of you. Something happens inside of you that you know that you have eternal life. Amen. And John writes 1 John so that those who believe in Jesus may know that they have eternal life and that they may believe on the name of the Son of God. And so listen, the Spirit of God is in you. He gives assurance to you. And if you are born again, you ought to know that you're born again. Amen. And that happens by the Spirit of God is in you. Now, be careful with that. I can already hear people kind of going off track with that. I'm not saying that you're only saved if you feel saved. That's not what I'm saying. Our salvation is based on Christ, who he is, what he's done, and our faith in him. But I am saying that the scriptures are clear. When the Spirit lives inside of you, you know it. Amen. You know it. Amen. You are indwelled. And so, God bless you. If we would ever hope to be led by the Spirit, we must first be indwelled by the Spirit. Amen. Everybody with me? Amen. You cannot be led by the Spirit if he doesn't live inside of you. You must be born again. So it starts there. Number two, I want you to see this beautiful 2 Corinthians 13:14. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, listen to this, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Again, Philippians 2, stay right there, Brother Dave, in 2 Corinthians 13:14, but you guys just listen to Philippians 2:1. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit. And here in our verse, look at this, the communion of the Holy Ghost. This is fellowship with the Holy Ghost. This means that you and I, through faith in Jesus, not only does the Spirit of God live in us, but we have a fellowship with Him. We have communion with Him. We are unified in Him. We are one with God through the Spirit of God. We have a relationship with the Spirit of God. Everybody with me? You can have a relationship with the Spirit of God. I read a book by a pastor one time, and he started out his book talking about his best friend. And I'm a sucker for that stuff. He just reeled me right in. But he said, my best friend is the first person I talk to when I wake up. And I, be honest with you, I thought he was talking about his wife. Just like the way he tells the story. And he said, I talk to my best friend throughout the day. The last person I talk to is my best friend before I go to sleep at night. And he tells this whole long thing. And then he says, it's the Spirit of God. And I don't think his wife is offended by that at all. He said, God's Holy Spirit is my best friend. Amen. I walk with him. I talk to him. I have fellowship with him. I commune with him. And it is a beautiful thing, friends, when you understand not only does he live inside of you, but you have fellowship with God, and that happens through the work of the Spirit of God. He literally is with you everywhere you go. Now, when our kids are little, we talk about having Jesus in our heart. We have Jesus in our heart. And we understand what we mean by that. And listen, we're not going to get off into the weeds about the Trinity and all that right now. Just understand that the person who is with you today as a believer, right now in this moment, if you're saved, it's the Holy Spirit that is with you right now. Amen. It's the Holy Spirit who lives in you. And I know you could say, well, that's Jesus because he's God. I get all that. I'm just telling you, it's the person of the Holy Spirit. He lives inside of you, and you can have communion with the Holy Ghost. And that's what the apostle prayed for these disciples, and I believe it's the desire of God's heart for you. Amen. That you, each and every one of you who are born again, have a communion with the Spirit of God. You have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Amen. And so we have him in us, and we have fellowship with him. And you say, how does that happen? I don't know. You just talk to him. Amen. Well, how do you talk to him? Well, it's prayer. Amen. And how do we pray? How do we pray without ceasing? Well, we do that by directing all of our thoughts to God. Amen. In your heart and in your mind, understanding that what's going on in your consciousness, you can let that rattle around inside your brain if you want to. That's not going to do you any good. But when you direct those thoughts to God, it changes everything. Now you're not just talking to yourself, because I know all of you talk to yourself. And the older you get, the more you do it. That's because you can't hear anybody else. Listen, you can talk to yourself all you want to. It's not going to do you much good. But listen, when you talk to God, it changes everything. And you take all those thoughts and you direct them towards God. And the first thing when you wake up, you praise God and you commune with His Spirit. And when you open your Bible and you read the Scriptures, you're having communion with the Spirit. It's His Word. Amen. He wrote it. Amen. He's the one who moved the men who wrote the Scriptures. The Spirit of God moved them. The Spirit of God breathed the Word of God through them. And it's His Word. And you commune with him as you read the Scriptures. You commune with him as you pray. You commune with him when you wake up. You talk to the Lord as you go through your day. You talk to the Lord as you lay your head on your pillow at night before you go and drift off to sleep. You are communing with him at the beginning, at the end, and everywhere in between. Have fellowship with the Spirit of God. Number three, you are familiar with this. Ephesians 5:18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus. Now, we've talked about this so many times, and I don't want to get too bogged down here, but listen. When somebody becomes drunk, the Scripture is clear. That's not a good thing. That's sinful to be drunk. And don't be drunk, but instead be filled with the Spirit. But there's an analogy here. In the same way when someone consumes too much alcohol, it permeates every part of their being. It controls the way they think. It controls the way they speak. It controls the way they act. The alcohol takes over. Everybody with me? And he says, don't do that. but instead be filled with the Spirit. And what's he saying? In every way of your life, allow the Spirit of God to permeate so that he controls the way you think, and he controls the way you speak, and he controls the way you act. Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. And when you do, what's going to happen? You're going to praise God, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. And I know some of you right now are looking at that verse saying, you just made fun of us for talking to ourselves. I think that's verse 19. Speaking to yourselves, plural. I don't think he's commending you to talk to yourself like we were making fun of all ago, but that you are worshiping God and praising God all the time. This isn't just an internal thing to yourself. It is that, but it's also to one another, yourselves, plural, worshiping God together. And then he says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 20, I want you to get this. When you're filled with the Spirit of God, he gives you a new perspective. Amen. You see things differently when you're filled with the Spirit. Because when you're in the flesh, you know what you do? You complain. When you're in the flesh, you murmur. When you are in the flesh, you're grumpy. When you're in the flesh, sometimes you act like a jerk. Amen. I know, because I've been told that. But when you're in the Spirit, you're thankful for everything because you have a different perspective. Because now the circumstances of this life are all seen through the lens of Scripture. They're all seen through the lens of eternity. They're all seen through the lens of who Christ is and what he's done for us. It changes the way we look at everything when we're filled with the Spirit. And so we have to be indwelled by the Spirit. We have to be seeking fellowship with the Spirit. We have to be filled with the Spirit. Now, how does that happen? I believe it happens through surrender. I believe that you have to yield yourself to God. As he says in Romans 12, verses 1 and 2, I beseech you, brethren, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And what does this mean? It means you're yielding yourself to God. Think about the analogy again. Why is it that somebody gets drunk? Because they give themselves over to the alcohol. They give themselves over to it. They don't hold back. They just go all in. That's what happens. And in the same way, we give ourselves completely to Christ. We yield ourselves completely to him. We surrender every part of our lives to him. Every little decision, listen to me, every little decision you make every day can be a step in the flesh or a step in the Spirit. And when we're walking in the Spirit, when we're going to be filled with the Spirit, we have to make those decisions yielding to the Spirit of God. Every little decision. So it's surrender. That's how we're filled. But there are things that stand in our way. So number four, can I say we need to be careful not to quench or grieve. Don't resist the Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5:19, quench not the Spirit. Quench not the Spirit. Ephesians 4 and verse 30. Ephesians 4 verse 30. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Acts 7:51 says, ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Now, I'm going to tell you, this is one of the, when you think about the doctrines of the Spirit of God, when you think about the doctrines of the Holy Spirit, this is one of the things that is perplexing to me. Who is the Spirit of God? He is God. He is the third person of the Trinity. The Holy Spirit is as much God as Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is as much God as the Father is God. The Holy Spirit is referred to as a he. He is a person. He has will. He has volition. He has power. He is a person and the third person of the Trinity. And yet my Bible tells me right here that I can grieve him. That though he would lead me this direction, I could go a different direction. The Bible tells me that I can quench the Spirit, that though the Spirit of God would want to build a fire in me and a passion in me for the things of God, that I can suppress that fire. Amen. Friends, that's hard for me to comprehend. I don't understand that. Amen. So God has placed the Spirit in us and made us alive, but he still, in some way, we have the ability to resist the Spirit of God. I don't understand that. I don't understand how any of us as human beings could quench the Spirit or grieve the Spirit. Grieving I can understand a little better than quenching, but to be able to quench the Spirit, I don't understand that. But here it is. God's availed himself, and the power to be led of the Spirit is available to us, but we have to make decisions about that. He allows us to make those decisions. So be filled with the Spirit by being completely surrendered to him. Don't quench the Spirit. When he does something inside of you, when he speaks to your conscience, be obedient. When he leads you a direction, when he leads you not to go somewhere, don't grieve him by going there. Amen. So don't go against him. Number five, we come to being led or by walking in the Spirit. We're not going to go back through it. If you're a note taker, you might write down those first verses we looked at, Romans 8. 1 through 17 had a lot to say about our walk in the Spirit, but let me draw your attention to Romans 9, verses 1 and 2. Romans 9, 1 and 2. I say the truth in Christ, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart. Now, I don't understand all that the apostle is trying to say here, but there is a tie between our conscience and the witness of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, I grew up, how many of you grew up watching Disney before they went completely off the rails? They were probably off the rails back then too. It wasn't as obvious though, just to be fair. I grew up with Disney telling me to follow my heart. Then I studied my Bible and I learned that was terrible advice. Your heart is deceitful and wicked. The heart of man is deceitful and wicked. It will lead you astray. You shouldn't follow your heart. But God has done something else. He's given us a conscience, and he's not a little cricket on your shoulder. Amen? He's given us a conscience. He's given us the knowledge of good and evil. He's given us the knowledge of what's right and wrong. And he's given us this in our minds, our consciousness. The Greek word is psuche. It's where we get psychology for. It has to do with the mind. And God has given us that to know what's right and wrong, to help us to make right decisions. And the Spirit bears witness, the Spirit of God bears witness with our conscience. And the Holy Spirit of God is going to work through not your heart so much as your conscience to know right and wrong. And as we are indwelled by the Spirit, we're walking in fellowship with the Spirit, we are filled with the Spirit by being yielded, surrendered to him completely, we're not quenching or grieving the Spirit, not resisting the Spirit, then he is going to work in our conscience to lead us. And listen to me, he is primarily going to use the Scriptures to speak to your conscience. The Spirit of God will take the Scriptures and bring them to your remembrance. Jesus said that he would bring to remembrance the things that he taught you, that he would guide you into all truth, that he would teach you, he would reveal us by the Spirit, would reveal to us the Father's will. Everybody with me? I'm not going to take the time to read all of those things, but let me give you some verses real quick. John 14, 26, John 16, verses 13 and 14. The Spirit is going to guide us. He's going to show us things. He's going to glorify Jesus. 1 Corinthians 2, verses 10 through 16 tells us that God has revealed things to us by his Spirit. And so what I'm trying to say is that when you are yielded to the Spirit and you're seeking to follow him, you're not quenching the Spirit, that he is going to speak to your conscience, to guide you, and he's going to do it primarily through the Word of God. Let me say this. The Spirit of God will never lead anyone contrary to the Word of God. Listen, I've had people tell me all my ministry, they made a decision, and I can show you in the Bible that the decision they made was not right, but they'll say, I prayed about it, and I know this is what God wants me to do. Well, if what they are doing is contrary to the Scriptures, if what they're doing is contrary to the Scriptures, then the Spirit of God did not lead them in that.
Amen.
Can't be. He's not going to do that. So as we're being led by the Spirit of God, we know we are the sons of God. And Galatians 5:16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And make no mistake about it, brothers and sisters, the Spirit of God is at war with your flesh. And they are contrary the one to the other. But as we yield to the Spirit and seek to follow our conscience as it is led by the Scriptures, we can overcome the flesh and we can walk in victory. And we can be led by the Spirit of God. So when these missionaries wanted to go someplace or another place and the Spirit would not allow them to, the Spirit forbid them to, how did they know? I submit to you that the Spirit of God did not speak to them audibly, but he worked in their conscience. They had a desire, and the Spirit of God inside of them said, no, you don't need to do that. Now, it's hard for me to put that in words, but I want to put this out there because I think most of you that have been saved for a little bit have experienced this in some way, where you thought to do something, and you might just say this. You might say, I've heard some of you say something like this. I was going to do this, but there was something in me that told me not to do that.
Amen.
And it could be that the Spirit of God was working in you. And you listened to that still small voice, and you followed what God wanted you to do. And there are something, sometimes in your life, that I think some of you have been around for a minute, where you had that still small voice and you were going to do something and you had that something and you told you not to do it, but you did it anyway and it did not go well.
Amen.
And here's where I think we're at in our culture today. We're so busy and so in so much a hurry, we're not moving slow enough to listen to the Spirit.
Amen.
And we need to slow down and we need to listen for the Spirit of God. And stop doing whatever we've made up our mind to do without listening for the Spirit to lead us. I believe there's joy in walking in the Spirit. I believe there's fulfillment in following His leadership. And I believe there are great victories to be won in making disciples when we listen to the Spirit where He directs us day by day. Tonight I'm going to ask you to stand and our musicians to come. If the Holy Spirit is convicting your heart tonight, a decision that you might need to make, I want to plead with you to respond in faith and obedience tonight. I thank God for His Holy Spirit,
amen,
who convicts us, who guides us, who teaches us, who empowers us. He energizes us, gives us the ability. And I pray that God will help this church and all of His people around the world, but in particular, you, to be filled with the Spirit every day, that we would walk in the Spirit day by day. If He's convicting your heart, you come while we sing.